Flying is like you said, it is something we do. It is not something we are. It is not something I am. I can see that now more clearly than ever before in my life.
Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 54 of the Audio Briefings. Thanks for joining me. Really happy to have you here. This episode is going to be brought to you by Air One Insurance, and we're going to have Caleb from Air One Insurance on the next episode, number 55. But today we are going to be joined once again by probably one of our most popular guests in terms of feedback we received, Gord Stevens. And if you want to hear our first two episodes with Gord, go back to episode number 40 and episode number 41, and you can really get a glimpse into where Gord's coming from as we talk about mindfulness and just awareness in how we think, how we behave, how we act, how we process things. And today, Gord and I are going to go full circle. We're going to discuss how everyone is dealing with something, including how and why Gord actually removed himself from work at his airline job because of his emotional load and some of the stressors involved with moving across the country. We're going to talk about his early challenges with training and some observations that he's made as an instructor at the airline of what pilots may actually be dealing with when they struggle with training. We're also going to talk about how I fell asleep during one of his guided meditations during his Path Towards Stability seminar series, which I took part in over the summer. But before we get into that conversation, I'm going to invite you all to come visit the Cardinal Aviation website, www.cardinalaviation.ca. You can also visit us on Instagram. While you're on the website, please check out some of the coaching services and packages that we offer, as well as consulting. One of the things we're really proud of is just being a one-stop shop, full-service aviation solutions company. And networking is so important to everything that we do. And one thing that we're really proud of is if we can't do it, we will find you somebody who can, whatever it is, regardless of what your challenge is. While you're there also, if you like the content that we're putting out on the Audio Briefings podcast and you want to support the show, we really appreciate it. It helps us get this content out to you. You can go to the podcast page and go to support the podcast and feel free to become an annual subscriber, or you could pick up the coffee tab for the day. Whatever it is, we really appreciate it. We love the feedback. We love hearing from you. And we really hope that you enjoy this conversation with Gord and get as much out of it as I did while we were having it. So without any further delay, here's my conversation with Gord.
Bam.
What's going on?
Oh, man, it's nice to see you. I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Me too, especially since last night when I realized what day it is today.
October 27th. What?
9 years.
No. Is it really?
Yeah, 9 years today.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's the coincidence there.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, just not to kill the morning, but there's kind of the universe working in weird ways, I guess.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I sent Dag a message this morning. I said, or I'll just read it to you. I said, "Morning, Dag. Thinking of you guys today. Is it strange that I woke up this morning and the first thing I could think to text you was Happy October 27th?"
Fuck.
I mean, it isn't happy, but after 9 years, we still celebrate Luke's memory. I guess it's kind of like Happy Remembrance Day or turning a lemon of a day into lemonade that has some meaning. Big hugs from us to you. The most important part being that no matter how many years it's been, the day will always hold the same meaning. So anyway, there you go. Happy October 27th.
Happy October 27th. Yes.
I want to segue into your Facebook post 11 days ago. So what caught me about it was the image. So I'll just like paint a picture here. So it's black and white. And so there's a big circle, and in the big circle it says things I worry about, and then there's a smaller circle, I'd say it's like maybe 10% of the size of the big circle, it says things that can happen, and then there's a tiny little dot with an arrow that says things that do happen. And so obviously that image kind of caught me right away. And you take a minute and you process what it says, you process the imagery. And then you had written something and how it relates to you. And we did two episodes a while ago, and there was a huge response to it. And a lot of pilots, a lot of listeners really related to it and said, we need to have more of these conversations about awareness, about aviation mental health. So you posted that picture, and if there's anything about Gord, everything Gord does is intentional. So there must have been a reason behind that picture. So what kind of inspired it?
I appreciate that, but I'm working on everything being intentional, and that is what is behind that is my path is not the same as everyone's path, but it is a path. It is, and my building awareness of the value of doing things intentionally, even scheduling our time, scheduling my time, just like we were talking about a few minutes ago, kind of the long way, one long way around to get back to your question of why I shared that post is I can worry unconsciously about everything, like in that huge circle, but all it has taken for me is intentionally stepping back and looking at it to realize that's what I'm doing. And it's not healthy for me to do that all day, every day.
See, there's Gord going deep as usual. And see, I looked at the picture and I thought something much shallower, not shallow, but not as deep. And I kind of related it almost to like a fear of flying, right? Like you take somebody flying who is like, we're going to fall out of the sky. And so I look at like, okay, well, things that you're worrying about as we walk towards the airplane, the things that actually can happen, and then the things that actually do happen, you know, it's, you could relate this image to so many different things. So pivoting, and this is a really unnatural transition. But I mean, we talked before, you know, we flew together in the Maldives, you know, you flew, otters and twin otters and all that. And then I remember when you went to the airline, you were conflicted. You're like, I'm not an airline guy, but you know what? I got to go do this. And you did. And, you became a training captain on the Airbus there, but you're not doing that anymore. What kind of took you from the shirt and tie and the epaulets and, you know, busting your ass to get there to where you are right now? I know there's a story there.
Yeah, there is. And it all, it really applies. It's all the same. It all comes back to the same thing, Ryan. And is awareness. My awareness of what I was carrying was getting to be higher than I was comfortable with in order to do my job as I thought was the responsible way to do my job. My sleep was being affected, and I was becoming more distracted. And then then COVID happened. And I guess because I've been giving myself practice with doing things more intentionally, of being more intentionally aware of what kind of load I'm carrying in any given moment, I said to myself, I was actually away on a trip. I was out flying, and I said to myself, I'm going to take a break to deal with what I had been carrying with me from home, some things going on in my home life. And all of it comes, it all applies to the same thing. Thankfully, it all applies to the same thing because it's not really complex. Everything comes back to the same idea for me, which is whether in flight or in life, everything is about mitigating the threat of reactivity, just to use consistent language with some language I use at work. But it works. Reacting is a threat, and worrying is just reacting. And that picture, that speaks to that picture that you brought up, those circles. Worrying is just reacting in an unconscious way.
What was it like when you made that decision to kind of, I don't want to say walk away, because you haven't walked away, you're taking a leave or a break. I mean, flying is what you do. Flying is what we do. And to say, I need to stop what I'm doing right now. What was that decision like? What was going on in your mind? Like, was it a black and white? Like, you know what, I'm just going to do this. Was there second thought? Was there worry? Were you scared? Like, what was that like? Cause I mean, as pilots, especially career pilots, flying is our identity, right or wrong. It is, right? That's, you know, I don't know about you, but my friend's parents, you know, they have two sons. They have David and they have the pilot, right? I don't even have a name. I'm just the pilot. So yeah. What was that like making that decision? And then once you made the decision?
Oh, you've really thought these questions out.
No, actually, here, I'm going to pull a Amy Coney Barrett and show you my blank notepad.
Awesome, man. Well, nicely done. Good question. What was that like to remove myself from the me that is flying, that has been me, or that I, there was a side of me that really thought it was me in an unconscious way. I wasn't aware of how much of me saw myself as this job, as this action, this doing, this lifestyle, right? There's so much to flying. There's so much to consider. I could easily think about it all day and all night. And I did for years. I'm convinced that's why I never wrecked an airplane, actually, is because I gave it so much thought. For years, I did that at the cost of everything else. I traded time with my family. I traded time with friends, time by myself, building awareness and of my mental health, of my emotional load. I didn't do it intentionally. And again, it brings us back to intention and awareness, but I didn't do it that intentionally. I wanted to be really good. And I became really good because I did absolutely nothing else. So to remove myself from that environment, I mean, I've been doing it long. I've been flying commercially for quite some time, and I just knew that it just felt right. It felt like it wasn't much of a choice. So I did it. I made the decision. And then that was the hard part. So the decision was, it was like my body made the decision for me, saying, okay, you need a break. I'm taking a break. And then there was, like, I would say 2 months of dealing with that, of the reality of, okay, where is, what just happened? Where did I go? I don't feel like me anymore, and I'm uncomfortable with this. So it was the 2 months really after the decision that I really became aware of how much I, to use a word that you used a minute ago, identified. My identity as a pilot was much more broad in scope than I really than I even knew.
I feel like it's like another pronoun, you know, like we're in 2020, so you have like he, she, they, and pilot.
Yeah, just refer to me as, yeah, that's right. And that's very accurate. I would have referred to myself as pilot. not he, she, human.
Yeah.
That's and flying is like you said, it is something we do. It is not something we are. It is not something I am. I can see that now more clearly than ever before in my life. And I force myself to digest that, and that's what I've been doing for the last 6 months or so, is coming to terms with that and realizing that I'm not something that does. I am something that is. Digesting the difference between doing and being has been the name of my 6 months.
Cool. And then, I mean, since we last talked in, I think it was June, or, well, we've talked since then, but recorded in June, maybe July, I did your 8-week path to awareness thing, which, as we discussed at the beginning, was way outside my comfort zone. I'm actually reflecting back on it in the last couple weeks since it ended, and I feel like in the moment it was a lot to digest, but coming away from it, looking back on it, there's a lot of tools that are very helpful in the day-to-day, but you can't force them. They have to just happen, if that's fair. And kind of a funny story from that is it's a fantastic course, and I think there's about 8 or 10 people on it. I felt really bad the second session. Gord does these kind of mindfulness moments, and it's almost like a guided meditation, if you will. And I was at work, and this was the only session where it conflicted with work. So I scheduled kind of my breaks while I was at work to have an hour to put everything aside and do Gord's course. And I was on a day shift, so I've been up since 4 a.m. And we were halfway through the hour-long session, and we did the kind of guided mindfulness moment, and super embarrassing. It's all, you're on video, it's a Zoom call. And while we're kind of focusing on our breathing and being intentional, I actually got so relaxed that I fell asleep. And so for the last 15 minutes of Gord's session, they were going through the material, and there I was on video on a chair outside at work sawing logs. So I apologize. I felt horrible, but you know what? Yeah. Anyway, it was kind of a moment.
Well, I think you handled it in a really healthy way. You didn't need to apologize. There's very little distance between a mindfulness practice and falling asleep. That is not just you, Ryan. And I think that speaks to the group. The comfort that you had with that group is you kept coming back and staying open to our conversations, and I thought that was really commendable of you.
I think with that group, it brings back to something that you had just said, is that everybody's dealing with something, and everybody, I don't know the personal stories of everyone in that group. Some people shared a little more than others, but you could tell that everybody was dealing with something, be it COVID, be it work, be it whatever. Everybody was dealing with something, and I maybe learned a little bit of quiet empathy in the group, I guess, if you will, just trying to be a little bit aware of what's going on with the other people as well. And I know that you'd said kind of what happens in the group stays in the group, but I'm going to break that a little bit, and feel free to say no. But I just think in this sharing with pilots and people that have been through difficult situations, we both identify as a pilot as being good at what we do and as always thinking about what we do and trying to be the best at it. And you went to the airline as a first officer, you upgraded, and you faced a couple challenges during your upgrade. Is that something you want to talk about? I just think it might be helpful for some people that, you know, maybe think the road is always paved in nice, smooth asphalt, but sometimes there's some cobblestones. I don't know. You know, we try and share for others learning and how everybody is going through something, and there are challenges and struggles in life and in this job and in this career. And just maybe because that story, until you shared it in the group, was something I didn't know. I didn't know anything about that. So I learned something there. But I feel that maybe some others could also kind of learn about overcoming some job adversity and getting to the other side.
Again, because that was over 10 years ago, and because I was unaware of how I was scheduling myself, I was unaware of that it's healthy to have boundaries. It's healthy to say no to things. It's healthy to build buffer time in between calls like this, for example, or to give myself some space before a check ride, for example, or before a test. I wasn't aware of any of that. And I had myself in an sort of an imbalanced relationship which took up a lot of my emotional space, way more than I realized, way more than I was aware of. And I moved across the country for this job, as pilots do. I moved across the country again for this job. Let's see, I can see you smiling when I say that. So moving across the country, moving away from everything that I knew, a big part of my identity was living in a small town on the coast of BC. I'd been there for a long time, flying these airplanes that I was inherently so good at because it's all I thought of. So just like you said, there's this me, this accomplished me. And I didn't even realize it. I was unintentional, unaware of what was going to happen to that little me when I moved across the country and completely switched lifestyles. I had never flown. Actually, I'd never even flown on wheels before. Like I flew. I mean, I said this to a captain once when I first, after all this drama that I'll tell you about, the only thing I'd used wheel brakes for was in tail draggers. I'd never used wheel brakes.
You combined your first jet with your first wheel experience.
Yeah, I'd never. I mean, the only time I was on wheels was when the skis were up, yeah. Right? I hadn't thought of that, and that speaks to the value of awareness, the value of intention. If I had given myself some space to digest even that idea, like I've never flown on wheels before. Okay, well, that just is. That's just something. But it is. So there's something to that. That's interesting. And here I am going to operate a heavy machine, which I've also never operated, which is on wheels in a controlled airport. I've never operated in a controlled airport before, right? Other than the odd time doing my training in Calgary.
Sorry, just for context, we're talking about transitioning from everything that you had flown before to an Airbus or an Embraer or whatever it was, a large transport category, passenger airline jet. We're talking
right.
First real controlled airport, first real wheels, probably first retractable. And here you are yeah. Going to training on the other side of the country.
Exactly. And I'd never sat in the right seat before either. So the only time I was in the right seat was when I was doing training for captains in the Twin Otter on floats or skis. But so all of these things, because I wasn't aware of what I was taking on, I couldn't really respond to things intentionally. I ended up reacting to everything, just to bring us back to this, the threat of reacting. And so as I'm reacting to being on wheels, as I'm reacting to being in a big controlled airport, in the right seat. All of these, it just goes, when I think about it now, it's amazing to me that I didn't realize what I was doing. I just moving across the country, moving away from my family. And I struggled, just to get back to what I think you were asking about, I started struggling in training for the first time in my life. I'd never struggled in training before. So that was also, that really took me out of my comfort zone Not that I was in any kind of comfort zone. I was in like an unaware place because I didn't realize all of these things that I was taking on at the same time. So start struggling in training. That really disrupted my, the me that we're talking about. It was like I started to sort of lose this me because now I'm not good at this. And I'd never really been not good at anything with an airplane before. So I was really shaken by that. And I ended up failing a check ride. My first check ride in that airplane. And I was searching for a word. Destroyed would be a word, but I was searching for a better one. I was so destroyed. It was almost like a relief. It was almost like I had this, I was destroyed because I had this loss of, this total loss of me, but I actually had some space. Like the next day after that, I wasn't assigned any flying because I didn't have a license. So I wasn't assigned any flying. I was given, numerous days of space. and where I kind of gave myself this, I didn't have any choice at that point to give myself sort of a reset, give myself some space to take a breath and to pause because I had nothing else to do at that point. And that's the story you were thinking of, right?
Yeah, but so how do you come back from that?
Well, thankfully, the training program, I think it's one reason why years later I was invited into the training program, by the way, was that I had so much experience with it. But I had experienced this part of the training program that really spoke to my, what I learned was values of mine, which was, so I had this event, this unsatisfactory licensing event, and the people who reached out to me from the training department and from the pilot group, they weren't asking me things like, what happened? They weren't asking me things like, do you know what went wrong? They were, what they said was, are you okay? What's going on at home? How's your sleep? And I, of course, again, because I was totally unintentional about any of these things, that's really the first time that I thought about that. And that's why shortly after that is what gave context to me about the idea, what we said earlier, of everyone's going through something. And so years later, as I went forward, feeling supported, connected, part of this pilot community of humans, not just pilots, you know, people that realize there's more to us than just flying, because these things happen and we're still here, with a license or not, in an airplane or not, we're still here. And I was still here. And like, again, because I felt more supported and connected to this group, I really was more open to that idea of everyone's going through something, and I was going through something, and I didn't even know it. And usually now that I've seen, a few years later, I got involved in simulator instructing myself as an FO. I was still an FO, and I was, because of my empathy with this, my awareness of everyone is going through something at any given moment. Everyone is going through something. I would see this in the sim where when pilots would be struggling, it was always, in my experience, it had nothing to do with their ability with airplanes. It always had to do with what was going on in their life. What was going on for them. And I didn't know that back then for myself. So the people who did know that were sort of carrying the awareness and offering it to me. And I was just open to it, I guess. Partly because I had no other choice. Life kind of took care of that for me. I didn't have a choice but to be open to it. I was like, okay, what do you recommend?
All those firsts lining up. I mean, we never run out of, that's one of the cool things about aviation. We never run out of firsts. And probably you were at a point when you made the job switch that you thought you'd had all your firsts, but there was 10 more that all kind of Swiss cheese themselves into one there. And you came through that and obviously had a successful ride. You got involved in the training department, upgraded your, you know, up until you've taken your break now, you're like a line and dock training captain as well. So there is, I guess for anybody listening that has had, you know, challenges with a ride or hit a roadblock, there is a path back. You just need to find, I guess, like a root cause analysis and the cause probably isn't the fact that you maybe forgot to, I don't know what happened with you. It doesn't matter. So this has nothing to do with Gord, but it's not in that you know, forgot to put the gear down or oversped the flaps or got a little bit behind the airplane, whatever it is. The cause is probably something completely outside of the airplane, but yeah, being aware, I think, is going back to everything that you do now. So also while we were doing your kind of path to awareness,
path towards stability.
There you go. it was clear that everyone was going through something and that COVID had really impacted a lot of people. So that is, COVID may not be a ride, but it is a, like a check ride, but it is a roadblock. It is a hurdle in one's career. In kind of the work that you've done and the interactions that you've had, what would be like one piece of guidance or wisdom or insight of yours in to how people can kind of adapt, maybe overcome, and kind of look after themselves during this time?
Yeah, another seemingly well thought out question, but
fake it till you make it, Gord.
Good
but,
work.
But man. there's a disconnect there, well, because COVID isn't anybody's mistake.
I might as well just bring it back to those words of
you see what I'm saying?
Going through something. And some more applicable words to that are, I picture these next words as like a three line thing. The first line, if I could say one, two, three. So number one is, pilots are humans. The second line is, humans make mistakes. And the third line is, pilots make mistakes. So it's like this, and of course pilots are humans, right? No, COVID is not, the mistake is not COVID. It is a mistake, in my opinion, would be, and again, mistakes happen. That's what humans, we make mistakes, right? Pilots are not. But the mistake to me would be to not see the opportunity in what can I take from this scenario, whether it's I forgot to put the gear down or how I'm reacting to COVID. The more I am aware of my inclination to react, the less I will be reacting and the better I'll be. If I'm not reacting, then I'm responding, and responding is intentional. I'm choosing my response, just to make a distinction between those words, respond and react. So if I intentionally want to mitigate reactivity as a threat, which it is, then the only thing to do, thankfully, again, because it's simple, I like simple things, the only thing to do is to realize it's a thing and be looking at it intentionally. And when I look at my inclination to react, I become more aware of that inclination of mine. So just to, for example, with COVID, just to come back to your question, my unconscious inclination is to react to all things COVID with fear, worry, stress, and that equals things like not sleeping, fighting about random things that don't have a lot of bearing on what's really going on with my family, with anybody, creating conflict. And all of that happens because of my reacting to COVID in stress. I'm carrying this load of whether it's worry, fear, like I say, which then develop into other things. When I give myself a pause just to even notice that, when I step back and notice that I'm worrying about this, it's like I inherently at that same moment forgive myself and just bring it into awareness and say, okay, I'm worried. I feel worried about this. I feel a loss of control. I feel fear about this, whatever it is. And it's just a thing. It's just there. But unless I give myself even a moment's pause, I don't realize it. So I think, does that answer your question? By like building in a pause, arms me to respond instead of react.
You know, I think what I heard was, you know, in terms of some wisdom or from your experience, is to be aware of the stressors of COVID and to identify them, kind of, it's okay to have them, to put them in a box, take a step back, realize that they're there, and not let them kind of control you, because COVID has affected your or one's job as a pilot, but as we identified earlier today, being a pilot isn't who they are, it's what they do. All right, there you have it. There's our conversation with Gord. I hope you enjoyed it. And one thing I'm really excited to let you guys all know is that while this was our third conversation with Gord on the audio briefings, it's actually going to be the first of a series of four conversations that we have moving forward that we're planning for the first week of each month for the next 4 months. We're going to reconnect with Gord and we're going to examine and talk about a few different scenarios, a few different situations that he has faced in his aviation career, where he has had to employ some of these strategies or where he's been pushed and learned something about himself. And I know that as we have these conversations, there will be at least one person out there, and I know there's going to be more, but at least one person out there that is going to be able to relate to them, be able to connect with them, and hopefully find some support in them. So I'm looking forward to those conversations in the coming months. I'm also looking forward to the conversations that I've got booked this week. And we've got Caleb Winterburn from Air One Insurance coming up in our next episode. In the meantime, while you're waiting for the next episode, go ahead, listen to some of the back catalog. We've got 54 episodes now. There's something in there for everybody. Visit us, www.cardinalaviation.ca. Get in touch with us on email, info@cardinalaviation.ca, and check out what we're all about. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Until next time, fly safely, never stop learning, and take care of yourself.